versus the United States.
Good morning, Your Honor.
We don't waste that counsel.
Is the government's counsel here in this case? All right.
Good morning, Dave. Please the court.
Hope this is not a reflection on the lack of interest in your appeal. Everybody's leaving before you get a chance to talk.
It might be. Richard Trace, on behalf of the position in this AWOD. One way or another, Ms. AWOD has been in these proceedings for a number of years, has been in the United States since 1988, and as Your Honors, I'm sure, are aware, had withdrawn her claims for asylum and suspension of deportation at her immigration judge hearing with the full expectation that she was going to adjust her status by virtue of a marriage to a United States citizen, and was granted 1 year voluntary departure. During that year, she did not adjust her status to a United States citizen because they got divorced. And then, within that year of her voluntary departure, sought to reopen the matter and once again pursue, one way or another, her prior claims for asylum and or suspension of deportation. As the law changed during that period in 1996, the immigration judge felt that in the motion to reopen ruling that the petitioner now had failed to establish the requisite time period for continuous residence in this country. And on that issue, through a number of decisions, we're asserting that she did, at the time of the judge's decision, have the requisite number of years, 7 years, even though there was an order to show cause issued prior to that 7th year, because at that time the order to show cause issued prior to the 7th year of continuous residence did not in fact stop the or toll the continuous residence period, and did allow the petitioner at that time pursue her suspension of deportation application. A number of laws have been enacted since then, and a number of cases indicating that, in fact, the time stop rule would bar her from the suspension of deportation case. We've, in this brief, have indicated the Ninth Circuit's point of view in a couple of cases where the petitioner's immigration judge decision was made prior to the effective date of the act, which is April 1st, 1997, and that those decisions should reflect the petitioner's opportunity to pursue the suspension of deportation application, because the law simply wasn't in effect at that time, and any amendments thereto through the NACARA subsequent laws wouldn't apply yet because the law wasn't in effect yet. That seems to be the rationale.
Now, she never appealed from the 2001 order from the board which addressed the application of the time stop rule, did she?
That's correct, Judge.
Did she raise the stop time rule in her motion to reconsider?
In the final motion to reconsider, we didn't raise that issue because the board had indicated its position on that issue. We raised the asylum issue, trying to get that opened as well. We were trying to go on both grounds.
Don't we lack jurisdiction to address the issue of the stop time?
One of the problems that immigration bar faces, I think, in these cases is to avoid prematurely bringing these cases to the Seventh Circuit, we frequently bring the cases back to the BIA on maybe other issues that might be relevant and accept the decision of the board as it is without a motion to reconsider, indicating that there's no other facts or law to reconsider. We may believe they're wrong in their decision, but it might be fruitless at that point to reconsider that issue. And so we abstain or hold back from bringing motions to reconsider on those issues, and at the same time also abstain from bringing the cases here. And then we bring the cases back on maybe another issue that might be relevant, the asylum issue, to reopen that one, hoping that that might reopen the case and avoid coming to this court as well. And so given the board's decision, regarding the suspension of deportation claim, I think there is some authority for the fact that the law was not in effect at the time that the immigration judge made his decision, and that at that time, the Ms. Awad did have her requisite 7 years, which would allow her for suspension of deportation. If there are any questions, I'll just reserve the balance of my time for rebuttal.
All right, counsel.
Thank you very much.
Good morning, members of the court. I'm Paul Fiorino for the INS. Judge Rovner, you're absolutely right. This court lacks jurisdiction over the stop time issue. What is at issue before this court this time is solely the final ruling of the BIA with respect to asylum. And the board was completely within its jurisdiction and was within its discretion to decide as it did, because the petitioner adduced virtually no evidence evidencing eligibility for asylum. She had not met the requirements of new, previously unavailable evidence supported by affidavits or other admissible evidence. So the board was completely within its jurisdiction, and this court doesn't have any jurisdiction to decide anything before that. If there's one case that the government did not mention in its brief, and I apologize to the court, but it's Stone versus INS. It's a Supreme Court case, 514 U.S. 386. Justice Kennedy wrote in the majority opinion, and I'll give you a very brief sentence of what he said. We conclude that the statute is best understood as reflecting an intent on the part of Congress that deportation orders are to be reviewed in a timely fashion after issuance, irrespective of the later filing of a motion to reopen or reconsider. And that is at 514 U.S. 394. So the Supreme Court has clearly spoken to this issue. And even so, if the issue of the stop time were properly before this court, we would submit that that issue has been decided against the petitioner. We cited the Angel Ramos case. The petitioner cites the St. Cyr case as in support of his assertion that the stop time rule is impermissibly retroactive. We would assert that St. Cyr is clearly distinguishable for two reasons. Number one, St. Cyr had to do with a criminal alien pleading guilty in reliance on eligibility for relief from deportation, which is not the case here. But more importantly, because St. Cyr found that Congress did not intend retroactive application of the repeal of 212C, whereas it clearly has with respect to the retroactive application of the stop time rule. Subject to the court's questions, the government submits the court should affirm the decision of the BIA.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you. Just a couple points. As I indicated earlier, I think it would be unfair to discourage the petitioner here from, and other petitioners, from filing motions to reconsider or motions to reopen and immediately pursue the petition for review, if I say that right. In other words, if the ruling is that we can't go back into the heart of the case, the real deportation order here, we're encouraging everyone to file their petitions for review immediately upon those decisions, and we're foreclosing the opportunity, I think, to go back and file motions to reconsider. I think we're going to lose issues that way, lose our rights on that issue. And secondly, the board in its decision indicated they weren't sure if it was the old asylum or a new asylum claim from which we were asserting. There was only one asylum claim filed, and that was before the immigration judge. That I thought was obvious. That was filed back, I believe, in 95. And the one that was withdrawn, we attempted to reopen. And the judge, I think, knew that because in his opinion, he indicates that we expected to go forth on the adjustment of status, and that was the reason that we withdrew those applications at that time. And that we only withdrew those applications to make matters, again, easier. Instead of going through a full-scale hearing, an asylum or suspension of deportation, which takes a day of the court's time, we indicated with the judge, we had an agreement with the counsel, that we'll take a year of voluntary departure and hopefully adjust status through the marriage. That was the plan. It didn't happen, and then we thought we could revert back to our prior position, hoping to suffer no prejudice from doing that. I just want to point that to the court, and that the immigration judge is fully aware of that, because he indicates that in his opinion, that he what we expected to do.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, counsel. We will take the case under advisement. Case number 5.